I learned so much by being a passive investor. We were always investing, even as when we were on the active side, with partners that had more experience than us. So that really allowed us to grow and also to be better stewards of our investors' money. Because at the beginning, right, you don't know what you don't know. And when you're taking on other people's money, I felt like we owed it to them to make sure we did. So we invested over $60,000 that year in our education to learn and make and have mentors that we could, talk to do right by our investors, to take the right steps.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yona Weiss, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to a really special guest today, Monique Halm. How are you doing today, Monique?
I am great. Thanks for having me, Yona.
I appreciate it. Thanks for joining me. We were introduced by someone recently, and I thought, hey, this would be a great, you have a great story. I heard you on the Bigger Pockets podcast, so just great shout out to that. I mean, who hasn't listened to the Bigger Pockets podcast? But one of my favorites, and anyone who wants the deep, get a deep dive into her story, and an hour and a half long of going into that, definitely check that out. I'm sure you'll get. So shout out to Brandon and David for that episode there. You can check that out. And, just a little background. I'd love to give a little bit of a context to Monique. She is the real estate investor goddess. Okay. Well, basically she created this platform, which she's an educator. She's a real estate investor. And it's really about empowering women. Okay. Because all women are goddesses, right? and she's got a book that she's published, which is the Real Estate Investor Goddess Handbook. And she's got a podcast called the Real Estate Investor Goddess Podcast. Do you hear a theme going on over here?
Very well branded.
And you got this educational network, which is really, just bring women together, you're having conferences now virtual and things like that. So that's really great. Like your background is in law, right? You were a lawyer first before you got into real estate investing.
I wanted to just correct one thing you said, because you said I'm the real estate investor goddess, and I'm not the real estate investor goddess. I'm the founder of Real Estate Investor Goddesses, which is plural. That was very deliberate, because I, as you said, I think all women are goddesses. We each have at least a drop of the divine within us. And it's really a sisterhood. It's a community. It's much more than just me. I was guided to create this platform to support women, to get them into this game, but I'm not like the goddess. sometimes people are like, you're the real estate investor goddess. I'm like, I'm a real estate investor goddess.
No, I appreciate you correcting me there. No, that's definitely, for some reason, that's what you see. And it just, you give off that radiance. So when I'm talking to you, you're the goddess in the room. So, but no, really what is impressive is how you've managed, among being a mother and, a wife and having a business and investing and now over 1300 doors, in real estate investments and doing that. But really your focus seems to be like creating this community, giving back and bringing women together. Because I think, you look around at a lot of these conferences and you look around a lot of, podcasts and all stuff, and even myself included, it's not equal in terms of, the amount of women that are actually investing, number one. Number two, that are out there speaking at these events. And I think it's great what you're doing in empowering women and getting them more involved.
Yeah, I was going to different conferences and I would look around and I was one of very few in the room. Normally it'd be less than 10% of the room would be women. And I remember joining this high-end real estate investor mastermind. I was the only woman with 19 men. And like I said, it came as this divine download to bring women into the room. I feel like real estate investing is something for everybody, but in particular for women who are busy, you know, you're able to create these passive income streams. It helps level the playing field in terms of the, you know, the income gap or the wealth gap. And it's something that women are actually very good at. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I have heard that we have like 30% on average better returns as investors. And a lot of the skills that you need to be a really good investor, because it is a people, it's a relationship business, women tend to be very good at. So we're great at it, but so few women, I think, are invited into this game or know that it's possible for them. I know I didn't. And it's a series of happy accidents that got me here. You mentioned at the beginning that I was a lawyer. And growing up, I was always taught that success was being a doctor, lawyer, right, professor, engineer, right? You had a fancy job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that was like where you, that was the epitome of success and what you were meant to do. And I was a good student, dutiful daughter. So I went to college, then law school, ended up in a big law firm, partnership track, six figures. I should have been deliriously happy because I checked off all the boxes. Right. I was doing everything right, but I was absolutely miserable. And it was it was a really hard time because I felt like I had these golden handcuffs. I still had law school loans, but I was just so unhappy. And I fell into real estate, and it gave me a path out, and a way of creating these other income streams that just allowed me to have freedom.
Yeah, I mean, we're not necessarily taught a lot about other income streams or passive income or different investment strategies. So, I mean, presumably you could have been doing that simultaneously in whatever job you were in, but I guess, you know, that wasn't the path at the time.
I started it simultaneously, actually. I fell into it by accident. The only thing I'd ever been taught about real estate was to buy a home. I was never taught to create passive income streams. Just buy a house.
Right.
Which, you know, for the rich dad, poor dad readers, you know, that's a liability. It's not an asset. It doesn't put money into your pockets, right? But I didn't know that. Oh, that's all my parents ever taught me about, you know, get a job, buy a home, maybe put some in a 401k, and then, you know, work till you're 65, you get the gold watch, you play some golf, you die. So that was a path I was taught. And so I went to buy a home, and this was in 2005, towards the top of the last bubble, and I live in Los Angeles, which is a very expensive market.
Yeah.
So a semi-decent starter home, you're looking upwards of $600,000, $700,000.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in L.A., so
so I, you know, right? Yeah. So people who are in other markets are like, you had six figures, you couldn't buy a house. It's like, we're talking about a $600,000-$700,000 house. It was a lot. I was low at six figures, right? Just a little over 100K. And so a friend of mine who was in a similar boat suggested that we buy a duplex together. Mm-hmm. The original idea would be that we would have, you know, like a property with two equal units. Right. And we ended up finding this beautiful old Craftsman that had a larger unit in the bottom, it had a two bedroom up top, it had a converted garage in the back, and even a basement that we were able to rent out. And so we each took a bedroom in one of the units, and we rented out the upstairs, rented out the back house, rented out our basement, and we were house hacking before I knew that was a thing.
Before you knew what it was, right?
I didn't even think that term existed, but my goal was just to get a house, and then I ended up having one where it's like, oh, this is awesome. These people are paying my mortgage, and I had tax benefits, so I was like paying less in taxes too. I thought, this is great. And then when I met my husband, he had a duplex, and we got a single family rental together. After the market crashed, we ended up flipping. And then in 2015, I learned about syndication, bringing groups of investors together.
That was a good time to learn about it.
It was a really good time to learn about it. And that changed my life and changed the trajectory of everything. And
so That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of women who listen to this podcast, believe it or not. you know, how would you, you know, talk to them who are maybe someone in similar shoes? You know, would you have gone about it the same way that you did getting involved? Would you jump right into syndication? Would you, you know, say, hey, just come to the Real Estate Investor Goddesses, you know, meetup? And, you know, what would you say that they're kind of, you know, working W-2, looking to get involved in real estate?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, the best advice to them, you know, first steps would be?
So real estate investing is not one size fits all. And it's really important to understand what your why is behind real estate investing. So some people, so for me, I really did not like my job. I was pretty miserable and I was very, very unhappy. So being able to leave the job was was really helpful for me. And, but other people, they love what they're doing. They just want, they want to have that option to work when they want to. They want passive income and financial freedom. Some people want to, they're fine now. They're thinking long term. They want to have a better retirement. Others want to leave a legacy for their kids. Others want the tax benefits. It's often a combination of those, right? And so you want to get a really clear sense of why you're doing it, what your outcome is. Because if you're really just trying to get as much passive income as you can right now, you might have a different strategy than if you're thinking really long term, or if it's really all about the tax benefits. And then you want to figure out how do you want to play in this game? Because there's so many different ways of doing real estate. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book that's available for free on my website, a digital download. It's Investing in Real Estate from $1 to $1 million. Investing strategies for every budget and every goddess.
Wow.
And I share 12 different strategies in that book. And partly to answer, I think, the biggest objections or the biggest excuses that many women have about why they're not investing in real estate. And the three main ones I've found is, one, they think they don't have enough money. Or two, they think they don't have enough time. They're so busy. Mm-hmm. And they think it's going to be, you know, they have to spend all their time at open houses or dealing with contractors or like getting middle of the night calls from tenants, right? So and then so the time issue. And then the third is, you know, with regards to tenants, people are afraid of being landlords. So they don't want to deal with the three T's, the tenants, toilets, termites. They don't want to have that. And they think, if I'm going to be a real estate investor, I have to deal with that. And so I wrote that guide to let women know there are all these different ways of playing in this game. Some cost little to no money to get started and to get in the game. Some are passive. They don't take your time. Others don't require you ever to deal with tenants or toilets. Right? And so it's important for women to just get educated about what's the universe that's out there. And then so they can create a path and a plan that makes sense for them.
Yeah.
And that's how I would say to get started. So there's,
There you go. Yeah. Check out that book. That's the best way to get started for sure. No, I mean, I think what you're saying is so true, that there are so many different ways to get involved and there are different paths for everyone. And I think the biggest thing to figure out first is really why. And I think that's exactly what you said. What's your why? Why do you want to even get involved in this? Why do you want real estate? And everyone has different answers. And I think you really illustrated that very well. So appreciate you laying that out. I want to kind of change gears a little bit here because I'm really curious to know. I mean, obviously you said that syndication, when you learned about that, really changed the trajectory of your life. And I think when people hear about syndication, right, there's a lot of confusion around that subject as well. And, you know, we've talked a lot about syndication on this podcast, but you know, had you not learned about syndication, would you still be, you know, doing the fix and flips like you were doing before, or did you, you know, like,
yeah,
what would that look like?
What would I be doing right now? Probably like still struggling to do some fix and flips in LA. It's just so expensive. And then, you know, well, until I learned about it, our plan, you know, fixing and flipping is a very active strategy. Yes. It's a job. You do it. It's a short-term job. You fix it up. You sell it, hopefully at a profit, and then you start over. And I wanted something more passive. So we were looking at getting a fourplex, which was the biggest thing I could imagine at the time. And in LA, it doesn't cash flow. It makes no financial sense.
Yeah.
At all. Huh?
Even then.
This was 2015.
Now, for sure.
And yeah, just this. And then you have rent control. So you're going to get a unit with like three people paying way under market. And then it made no sense. So we were really frustrated. And I was introduced through a mutual friend to Robert Helms, who's the host of Real Estate Guys radio podcast. And Robert, I can remember he came. He was in LA. It was October 15th. I remember it really well. And he was asking me about my investing. I was telling him about the flipping and how that was getting really competitive and challenging. And then the fourplex that I couldn't find that made no sense. And he told me two things that really changed the game for me. So the first thing he said was, LA is a really tough market. I always say, live where you want to live, invest where the numbers make sense. And I went, oh, because until he said that, I always thought you had to invest where you could drive to your property, touch mm-hmm. it, self-manage it. Just hadn't occurred to me that you didn't have to invest where you live. And so that was a big paradigm shift for me. And then he said, and you can invest in that fourplex by yourself, but you limit your own capital and credit. So alternatively, you could bring a group of investors together and you can get 100, 200 units. And he started telling me about that, which was like, blew was like my mind. I was like, what? Until he said that, it was one of those things that never occurred to me. Sure. That was possible. I thought you had to be a billionaire for that. And then I also always thought that I was limited to my own capital and credit. So at this point, we're flipping. I was not working as a lawyer anymore. I was not a W-2. When you are self-employed and you have a good CPA, mm-hmm. especially when you're doing real estate,
yeah,
you have very, very, very little taxable income.
Yeah.
All right. So on our tax returns, it looked like we were destitute. Right? In the bank, we were buying houses, $500,000-$600,000 houses in cash. But for tax purposes, we made no money. And so little that we were able to do, what's that? Medicare, that free healthcare, for people in poverty. Our taxes looked like we made no money. So we couldn't get access to financing, mm-hmm. to money, right? So mostly I didn't know what I didn't know then. And right. so I thought it was either all cash or going to like conventional bank. So so when he said that, and with syndication, with commercial, when you're looking at bigger units, then they're not looking at your income, right? They're looking more at the income of the property. Right. They are looking at your, how much,
your net worth,
to a certain extent, right? But you're not limited to just your net worth. You can partner with other people.
You can bring other people in this. Yeah.
So that just opened the game. And whereas we were having a hard time just being able to refinance our own home, we were able to get $10 million loans and just get into much bigger properties that way. So it actually made it easier for us to invest than what we were doing before. A lot of people think it's going to be easier if you go small than mm-hmm. if you go big. But in our case, it was a lot easier to go big than small. And we were just able to leverage and create this vehicle that allowed this incredible growth. So in 2016, that first year, we went from two doors to over 1,000 by doing this game of syndication.
So did you first start out by partnering, by investing passively in other people's syndications?
Or
did
you just partner? Our first one was, we actually did a sub syndication, and then we passively invested in a couple of deals. Then we got that we syndicated two more deals that year to get to that over that 1,000 mark, 1,012. Yeah,
for sure. So that's probably, I mean, for me, and I know for a lot of other people, that's like the easiest way. The barrier to entry is just to invest passively in someone else, because you're kind of part of this ecosystem when you do that, and yeah. You have the opportunity and the access to these experienced people who have been doing it for years, and what you're kind of striving to get to, and you can ask them all the questions. It's a great learning experience.
I learned so much by being a passive investor, and we were always investing, even as when we were on the active side, with partners that had more experience than us. So that really allowed us to grow and also to be better stewards of our investors' money. Because yes. At the beginning, right, you don't know what you don't know. And when you're taking on other people's money, I felt like we owed it to them to make sure we did. So we invested over $60,000 that year in our education. To learn and make and have mentors that we could, you know, talk to do right by our investors, to take the right steps. So it was, yeah, it was not a, I just hopped into it casually, like, hey, give us money, let's do it. Like we made sure that we knew what we were doing and partnered with people who had more experience than us so that we could do the best job possible.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about this, you know, the investor goddesses, you know, community that you have going on. How, you know, obviously that came, you just talked about a little bit of how that came about, but now currently, like what are the, you know, key components of what's going on within that kind of, you so call the sisterhood?
There are a few components of it. And as I was creating it, I was thinking about what did I most need and what would what would have most supported me in my growth. And then it's been created probably through that and co-created with the women in the community. But there's an education piece. So we do have mentoring, coaching, education programs for women. We have events. We have one coming up September 18th to 20th, a virtual Wealth Through Real Estate event. And our events are generally, they're all women on stage. And so the women in the audience can learn. I think it's very helpful to see that other people that have your experience look like you are successful and are doing it. Right. And so we have incredible women that are crushing it in this game. That show up. So we have that. We have a Facebook community that's growing and an email list. So we're sending out helpful information too. So I probably have about a little over 20,000 women on our list. And then we have the podcast where I share stories, share women, have interviews with women who are successful real estate investors. Their books, there's the Real Estate Investor Guys Handbook.
Right.
And then there's Wealth for Women, Conversations with the Team That Creates the Dream. And then the digital guide that's on the website, Investing in Real Estate for $1 to $1 million. So there's a lot out there to support women as they get into this and to help support them as they move through it. And then there's the Our Investor Club, which is for women that want access to passive investing opportunities too. Right. So all of those things are, you know, so far how I'm trying to get the word out and meet my mission of helping 1 million women create financial freedom through real estate investing. And I'm still a ways away, but just plugging into it all the time and knowing I can't do it myself. So I appreciate you having me on to share about this and just letting women know that this is possible for them.
Sure. And it's so important. I mean, it's possible for anyone. And I think what you said kind of at the beginning is that, you know, when you look at, you know, when you're in the room and you go to these conferences, and, you know, I can relate to it myself as well. I go to a lot of conferences and there's a really small percentage. And I'm for speaking for myself in terms of, you know, the clients that I work with, you know, I do conservation. The people, hundreds of, you know, all over the country, but there's a very small percentage of women that are on that list. And I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like that's, it just, it's not as much as, you know, it's not an equal kind of playing field. And so it's amazing what you're doing. And, you know, I wish you a lot, tremendous amount of success with that, continuing doing that and growing that. And a million women, you know, that's, it's not a small, small feat, but it's a great goal to have.
It's a big number. I'll try and.
You can get there. Definitely. You know, you get there with time and, you know, things like that. So I'd love to just jump right into the final four here, which four questions we ask every single one of our guests. And the first question is, what was the worst job that you ever had?
Oh, gosh. So I think for me, is my first job as a lawyer. And I was so miserable that at one point I found myself on a Tuesday morning in the hospital emergency room. And when the doctor told me that my appendix had ruptured and I'd be in the hospital for several days, I was in the hospital for 9 days and I'd have at least 30 days afterwards of at home to recover. My first thought was, oh, thank God, I don't have to go to work for at least 30 days. And some of my fellow associates came to visit me and they were jealous. Like that's how miserable we were. We were joking. It's like, do we need a spleen? What does a spleen do anyway? It's like, I could get rid of my spleen. Tonsils. I don't need tonsils. Let's get rid of our, you know, it's just like, that's how unhappy we were. We felt a bit like I was abused. So the partners were very not nice there. That was my worst job.
Wow. Yeah. It does not sound pleasant. Well,
no. Imagine driving to work, hoping you get into an accident. Just bad enough that you don't ever have to work again, but not so bad that you're like, you know, in a wheelchair. Like that's how my life felt. That's how my drive to work was. Like, how bad is that? Never have to. Yeah. So that was that. That was my worst job.
That's an interesting
pretty miserable.
Yeah, the outlook on that. Well, I'm glad you're out of that.
But
unfortunately, there are plenty of people that are experiencing that now, which is kind of one of the reasons why I asked the question, because it's amazing to see so many different perspectives and, you know, how to recognize. And a lot of times what I find is that it's really more, and like you said, it's more about the people than the job itself.
Yeah.
The environment. And that really is telling. So if you're listening to this and you can relate, it's time to move on.
Yes. You're not stuck. I felt stuck, but you're not stuck.
So second question, what is a book you've read that has given you a paradigm shift?
Well, one of them is The One Thing by Gary Keller. And it's simple, but it's really, it's just like thinking, because I used to have a big long to-do list and I was always so busy, and I still have lots that I do, but it really helped me go from just being busy to focusing on like one thing that would most move the needle forward. It's like, what's the one thing I can do that will make everything else easier or unnecessary? And so shifting from just doing to doing it's like one thing that would really move me forward was very life-changing for me.
Yeah, that's actually come up a few times in the past couple of weeks, that book. In fact, one of our other guests mentioned that, but I haven't gotten to it yet, but I definitely hear the concept and I'd love to check that out myself. So
you should get it, although really it's just that one question.
Right.
So if you want the cliff notes, that's it. It's just about that one question.
Right. I know, like I read like one of my friends put a LinkedIn post last week about it. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, let's just do that.
If you do hear, this is what I've learned. If you hear something multiple times, the divine higher power, the universe giving you a message that you must pay attention to. So you've heard it several times. You must go out and get the book now.
100%. Okay. Well, it just so happens that I got my next Audible credit just last week, and I haven't used it yet.
There you go.
Because I'm so behind. Because I'm so behind. I have like so many books.
You have to pay. I've learned that I must pay attention to the multiple message. Yes. Like you get three or more messages. That is, you have to following up on that will lead you in a very good direction.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that 100%. What's a skill or talent that you'd like to learn?
I would like to learn how to surf.
Wow.
And my husband is a big surfer. He's from Australia originally. I'm saying I want to surf, but he got me a beginner board and he's trying to get me out there. And I've been resistant because the water's so cold here in LA, but I do want to learn how to surf. So I've heard it here.
There you go.
I commit to that.
LA is a good place to learn. I mean, it's relatively cold. It's not that.
it's very cold. The water is, but I have a wetsuit, so it's not so bad.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Surfing it is. Fourth and final question. What does success mean to you?
Success. So I keep thinking of the Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. He talks about success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And I think that's it, really. Success is progressing towards, in what you want. So I have my goal of helping 1 million, which is really big. But I feel like success whenever I help one woman get a property or, any movement forward into that, that is success for me.
That's awesome. Well, beautiful. Well, how can our listeners find you or reach out to you?
The best place is the website, www.reigoddesses.com. And we're at REI Goddesses on all the socials.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me and taking the time out today. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, this won't air before your conference on September 18th.
Oh, that's
okay. Whatever. It's all right. I'm sure there will be another one, to follow. So whenever this goes out, I'm sure people will check that out. And thank you again. This has really been, a very good conversation. I'm glad to learn a little bit more about you and what you're doing.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and to all of our listeners, thank you again for listening and tuning in. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.